Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, I got the thumbs up from Eddie. That means we go. It's a podcast on a Thursday. Al, what's in your face?
Oh,
what's
going there. On? Hi there, Jerry. Here's what I was thinking about. You know, it's a lot of times I'll write down thoughts that pop into my head throughout the day or my ride in or things. I'm like, I'm going to talk to Jerry about that.
All right, I like that.
So one of the things, I don't know why I was thinking about this. I was thinking about WFAN salaries.
Okay.
Is always a fascinating topic to me because I think it's interesting that we're in a business wherein we're always talking about player salaries, and yet in the real world, we don't really consider, where we don't talk about people's salaries.
Right.
Do you think most listeners would think WFAN hosts are making more than they thought?
Yes.
Or are making like, I would have thought they'd be making more than that.
Well, I think you said the same thing right there.
No, I'm saying like, so let's say somebody hears, a BT salary. Would most people think, wow, that's a lot of money for what he does?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Or would they say, huh, I would have thought that paid more?
I think people think we probably make, I don't think significantly more, but I do think people think we make more than we do.
Yeah.
I think there would be some people that would be like, they pay. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've told you this many times. They pay us how much for what? Like, there are times I walk out of here like, they're paying us for that today. So I think there's some people that probably think we get paid too much if they found out what it was. But I also think there have been people, and I'm actually one, I really, you could ask anybody I've worked for, aside from one time, two times when I first got the job in 1997 and almost fell over out of nausea when I found out what Mark was going to pay me to be the board op, which was almost nothing. Matter of fact, I was paying him. Aside from that,
for a
time,
legendary program,
yeah.
Mike and the Mad Dog.
Well, no, that was for the overnight slot. With
oh,
Joe
okay,
Beningo.
Overnight slot. But did it change much when they offered you a job on Mike and the Mad Dog?
Oh, not what I thought.
Right,
not what I thought. But so I didn't complain about that because at that time I was desperate for a full time job. I was Eddie will tell you I mean literally a day away from going and working for his dad, and was honestly looking forward to it because I thought it was a pretty cool job. But it also would have signified probably the end of me working in this business, though I was still planning on working on the weekends. So that didn't pay nearly as much, but I was fine with it because I had a full-time job, benefits again, and I was good. I was genuinely disgusted and disappointed when I got my first job here and found out that the pay was $22,700 annually, not monthly.
$22,000.
Annually, yes, as an adult.
Commuting. You were married at that point, right?
Married and commuting from New Jersey to Queens.
22,000.
I mean, holy God. The only time I really was disappointed with my pay was when I got moved from regular anchoring to the Boomer and Carton show. Did not care for what the pay was. Wasn't awful, but I thought it would be significantly more.
To join Boomer and Carton.
Correct. To whereas I was given a very small raise from where I was. And I thought the raise would have been much more significant.
Yeah.
So I'm not really one that has complained about my salary because I just feel like you know what you signed up for. They tell you what it is. It's up to you to take it or leave it. Do I think you should be paid? I think a lot of us should be paid more, sure. So I'm not one that's complained about it. That having been said, I've had people that have asked me if I've hit seven figures yet annually. And I'm like, seven figures of what? Like money? No. I'm not going to complain. I've done fine. I've got two kids through private school. I think I have a nice house. I'm set up for the future. I'm good. But seven figures? No.
Right.
No. Not quite. So you've got those people that think we make a fortune.
Right.
And then there was one time, you might even remember this. We were at Mohegan Sun. Remember this guy that came up to us? It was during the Boomer and Carton days. Me and you were sitting at a table during like a commercial break. I don't even remember why we were sitting, but we were. And a guy came over during the break. Boomer and Carton, I think, were signing autographs. And we were sitting off to the side. And a guy came over and just, hey, love what you guys do. And the one guy goes, I respect that you guys have stuck with this, knowing that you probably get paid so little working in radio. I was like, excuse me? What? You think I'm doing this for, you know, $15 an hour? I wanted to punch him square in the face. You remember that by any chance?
Not really. I really don't. Yeah.
It was me and you off to the side. And I remember maybe it was Eddie. No, Eddie wasn't there. I think it was you. I remember like, excuse me, get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Like you pay in radio or any really kind of entertainment field early on is terrible.
Mm.
I mean, really terrible.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of almost like you've got to wait people out.
Correct.
Right? So a lot of people drop out early because the pay is so poor.
Yeah.
But if you're able to hang in there however it is you can, and you catch a couple of breaks, and you have talent, catch a couple breaks, be there when the right job opens up, it could work out.
It could. It's worked out for me.
So if you look back on your career, You mentioned you were going to take a job with Eddie's father, who was not in the radio business.
No, gypsum.
He was in...
like making sheetrock and stuff like that. Rock, I was going to work in the lab.
But then a job came through. What I'm looking for here is there a moment or two or three that of your career that turned the corner for you, either in that you were able to make a livable wage or that you were going to be out of the business, but something turned for you?
Yes. So when, I think the gypsum thing was, I got full-time with Joe anchoring around, so
in the overnight.
Yeah. So the Mike and the Mad Dog thing was a great job because it was normalcy, even though as it turned out, I mean, I was never home because I worked Monday through Friday and then I worked Saturday morning on the board. And as I started to do more and more on-air work in other places, they gave me the opportunity to anchor Friday night and Saturday night overnights. So think of what my schedule was. So this was a game changer of sorts. I went from almost out of the business, essentially, to, hey, the Mike and the Matt, Joni Chin was on the board. And she came to me when I was filling in. And it was one of those times when President Clinton called in. I believe I was with her at the time filling in. So it was around that time. When she came to me and said, you know, I think I'm leaving. Do you want this job? They seem to like you, meaning Mike and Chris. And I was like, I would love this job. 10 to 6, normal hours again. Oh, my God, it'd be amazing. So I went from being almost out of the business to working with Mike and the Mad Dog, two guys I listened to from day one, and also working Saturday mornings, but also anchoring twice a week, which was a big deal for me. So it was a lot, and I only had Sundays off, kind of, because by the time I woke up Sunday from overnight was noon, but I was starting to make at least livable money. The next moment where it was like I feel like I turned a corner was when I was given the overnight anchor job full-time, which was only 7 months later because it, I believe, not only it doubled my pay, but I would say probably a 30 or 40% increase due to the union minimum wage, essentially, for on-air talent. And we went from my wife was still full-time, everything was fine, went a little tight, to we had some breathing room.
So that's when your bump came, that when you became a full-time
anchor,
the union you're in required the radio station to pay you a certain amount of money.
Yes.
So then how does one go How does one bump up from there? Because the radio station at that point is only obligated to pay you a certain amount.
So as a anchor, they're not, and they don't. I mean, an anchor rate is what an anchor rate is, unless you do something else. So for me, I mean, it's long-winded. I'm not going to kill you with all the details, but I made extra money by, they asked me to do 10-10 wins, if you remember, during that time with Boomer and Carton. That was my next significant bump in pay, was when there wasn't much of a bump when they moved me off the regular anchoring stuff to Boomer and Carton. A little bit, nothing, like I said, nothing of what I thought it would be. But there was a significant increase when they added 10-10 wins. So that was better. That was like another level that I got to. Then along the way, I mean, honestly, it was pretty stagnant. I hate to say this because it's at his downfall. The next, and it was significant, bump was when Craig went on vacation. And if you remember, I never hosted. I didn't want to do it. I did it back in the day. I told him I don't do it anymore. But I kind of got pressed into it when he went away. And the more I hosted, all of a sudden, it was, things went well. We finished number one that September, or that fall, which was great. Though Mark never told me. I was told by other people in the company. Thank you. But based on the performance and the fact that Boomer went and told them that I'm the permanent fill-in, he gave me a really good raise. So that was the next one. That was, and that raise to me was eye-opening. So that,
because you were now hosting shows on a regular basis, as far as like you could pencil in how many shows you would get to host.
Yeah. Yeah. It was as if, we know we're going to have to use you for like 40 shows a year to be a host on top of what you're doing. It was also, as it was presented to me, it was also a thank you for, we didn't know this was coming, and yet you just jumped right in and we didn't skip a beat. So they gave me and I think the big boss here had a huge part in that too. I know he did, but that raise was really significant.
And the only thing you had to do for that is ruin your heart. You said you had heart issues. So other than that.
That October, I did, yeah. I was stressed.
Heart stresses.
Al, you know me now. I can't walk in here without a roadmap to a show. Doesn't mean the roadmap won't change. Doesn't mean he's going to take a left turn by a weird call or something. But if I'm sitting here, and I'll tell you, coming up, the guys are going to be off for a week. That will start up again the weekend leading into, I think it's the week of July 7th, I think.
Yeah, they're off the week of July 7th.
That Sunday, I will be all over the internet looking for stuff and material and trying to come up with ideas, to where my wife will think I'm a crazy man. That's how. So, yeah, so that October I had heart palpitations or anxiety and stress, and I wound up in the hospital.
It's difficult sometimes, and maybe this is in other businesses as well, that if you stay in the same place, it's harder to make more money.
Yes.
For the most part. You know, you kind of have to, and that's what you even see in pro sports, right? Someone's like, I can go here for this much money, and then your current team can decide whether they want to pay you that or you move on. So I always felt like in radio, like you had to move a little bit around to get a bump in pay. They're not going to, if you're doing the job of anchor on Boomer and Geo, they're not going to give you a huge up in pay to they're paying you. You're doing the job, right?
Right. Correct.
So in order for you to get a bump up in pay,
someone else has to want you.
Yeah. You would have to get an offer somewhere and say, this is really much more money. I mean, I prefer this job, but this one's more money. And they go, we'll pay you more money.
Leverage.
Yeah. You need some sort of like in your career, you need some sort of skill for sure. You need a lucky break or two along the way. And at some point, you need leverage.
So you said something to me numerous times, like, why haven't people from here been approached? And like JJ was approached and taken away, basically, by the Ringer podcast.
Yeah, the Bill
right?
Simmons owned
so
podcast.
I can't, and I won't. I can't say the name, but someone that you also know. I had a conversation with him maybe a month ago. So we were just talking about the business and everything. And I had brought that up to him. It's just odd how no one, and he like looked at me. He's like, because you guys on the outside looking in appear to be untouchable. Like no one would think you would want, like, why would we even have that conversation with you? You're at the fan. Like,
right.
I said, you know, when you say it that way.
Yep.
And then I brought up JJ to him and he said, yeah, but JJ was working weird hours.
Yeah, he wasn't full time.
Right. It was enticing for him. why would someone say go to, and he used the reference, why would someone go to Evan and try and pull him away from a place he's been for 20 years working afternoon drive?
Right.
How does it get better?
Right.
I said, yeah, it's interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I can see that as well. Yeah.
So I feel bad for CeeLo because I don't know if, I mean, I would assume he would take over for me if I left. I don't know that for 100% fact. But I'm also, I'm not that much older than him. Unless they kick me out, I'm not going anywhere. I feel bad. It's almost like I feel like I got to vacate the seat at some point for him.
For CeeLo. Not till you're 65, Jerry. At 65, then you can move over for CeeLo.
I don't know that I'm getting to 65. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
60, maybe. 65, that's a long time still.
Do you think Sal and BT make the same amount of money?
I'm going to say no, only from the standpoint that BT was there doing it longer.
Mm.
But I don't know. If you told me Sal's making more, I'd say okay. I would think that BT makes a little bit more just because of how much longer he's been a full-time host, if not at this radio station down the hall.
Yeah, when I was thinking of all the shows, if ever there was a show where the host, I would think, make the same exact money,
yeah,
it would be BT and Sal.
Sure.
Right?
And that might be the case. I don't know.
Because in the morning, Boomer was here forever.
For sure.
He's Boomer.
Yep.
He brings advertisers. He's been here for 18 years.
Yeah. And he's Boomer.
And he's Boomer.
Right.
In the afternoon, Tiki and Evan, right? Tiki is Tiki, former yep. athlete. Blah, blah, blah. Evan, though, has been here 100 years. So that one, that's an interesting one as
that's
well.
That's an interesting one. But I think to what you just said about Boomer, throw away the fact that he's Boomer for a second. You're talking about the longevity in the 18 years in the morning. That's my point with BT, is that while Sal was working at WOR or Sal was part-time here, working over, BT was afternoon drive at CBS Sports Radio and then did go to middays here for a few years. So it's almost like he had a jump start on Sal.
Right.
Doesn't mean they don't make the same, or doesn't mean Sal doesn't make more. I don't know. If you ask me my opinion, I would think BT makes a little bit more.
Yeah.
What do you think? Who else you want to talk about?
Who do you think makes more? Sean Morash?
Or Tommy?
Or Tommy Lugauer?
I don't know.
It's a tough one, right?
I don't know. I'm going to say Sean because he's on the air more, but I don't know. Maybe it's similar.
That one should be equal. Or seems equal. Although I don't know.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. This is going to sound terrible. I don't mean anything bad by it. But other than chiming in as a co-host from time to time, because Sean's not, when the show starts, Sean's mic is not on. The show opens, it's Evan and Tiki.
Oh, see, I did not know that.
From whenever I've listened. And a lot of times I'm in the car for that first segment. Yes, Sean will chime in at, let's say, 2:10 or 2:15, sometimes not till the second segment. It opens as the Evan and Tiki show. And then Sean is in the producer chair, but does have more of a co-host type of role. Tommy's in the board op chair, but he also talks a lot. I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah. Interesting.
Who makes more money, Al Dukes or Eddie Scazzeri?
Well, Eddie's told us. Eddie's the only one who's free and easy with telling people how much money he makes.
He loves telling people. I know.
I think Eddie is one of the people who, and Eddie does fine, but I think Eddie's one of the people who suffers from, he was here for a very long time and didn't ever have or try to use leverage.
No, I think he was very happy doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Now, to me, I think, I shouldn't be talking about someone else's money. I think he should be making double what he makes.
Yes.
I think he is so important to this time slot that we work in, and I don't think you're going to know it for real until we really see it, and we are now only 11 months away from that.
Yes, when he retires.
You know, and it's noticeable, and it doesn't mean the guys that fill in don't do a good job. That's not what I'm saying. Eddie is unique. It's a reason why he is so good at what he does. When Eddie's not here for a week, it's noticeable. It just is.
Yeah, next week he's out.
Right.
You will notice the difference.
For sure. I think his role is so significant. I think he's worth at least double what he gets paid. And I don't even know what he gets paid.
What's funny is now would be the time when he actually would have leverage, where we say you need leverage. He's put in his retirement.
Sure. I'll stay if you give me this.
Yes. Yeah. That'd be his only leverage, because he plans on retiring. So
he is retiring, yes.
If you say no, no.
Right.
But if he's looking for leverage ever, he actually would have leverage.
Might be the only time he has it.
Yes.
Although he might have had it in the past. He's just not going to go in and demand anything.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say demand. I don't even think he wants to have the conversation. You know, it's kind of like, Eddie, we did your review. You're getting your 3% raise. Thank you. That's just the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
I do remember one negotiation. I went in there and I had like four things that I asked for.
With Mark Chernoff?
Yes. And all four were declined. And I walked out. Well, I shouldn't say that. I did gain something, but it had no financial value to it.
Yeah.
It took an hour off my shift every day.
Well, that's like the last ditch effort, right?
When
you're trying for more money, and that keeps getting shot down, then you need something that they can give you that's not money, but makes your life easier.
And he couldn't have been happier to do it.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost as if, he's probably making it up, but it was almost as if he was like, you know, I didn't realize you were here that long. Yes, we can do that. So I walked out with my tail between my legs, but at least I felt a little good about myself that I won something.
Yeah.
So
I remember
funny.
DA from the DA show,
yeah.
Damon Amendola, who's now at SiriusXM, in one of his negotiations with the then CBS Sports Network, it probably was he kept asking for more money, and they were probably saying no, and he ended up with a parking spot.
Which is
nice, because that would equal money that he would have had to pay out.
That he was paying out.
Or that he was paying out. So that's like in the negotiations, you got to like have something in your back pocket where the company gives you something where they're not giving up actual cash.
Correct.
But you can't pull that out too soon. You have to know that you're wanting more, you're earning more money would be, that's not happening.
Right. That's right to me. I love this idea in the summer as a negotiation, and it saves everybody and it makes everybody happy.
Yeah.
Mondays and Fridays, Boomer and Geo in Long Island. I know Eddie has to come in, and I feel bad about that.
Well, he's retiring, Jerry.
He's retiring. You and I at a studio in New Jersey. You save time, you save parking, you save commuting expenses, and you don't have to come into the city on Mondays and Fridays. They're done at 10 o'clock. They're already in Long Island. They can go play golf, and we come in together Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Yeah. We'll tell that to the new person who takes over Eddie's job. Listen, there's going to be some times here where you're here alone.
How long was he here alone during the pandemic?
Very long time.
That's the thing that sucks about his job is that he can do some things remotely, but you can't run the whole show remotely. I don't think, anyway.
Maybe doesn't seem like it.
I wouldn't think so either.
So, I mean, someone has to be here to...
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Doesn't work that way.
Who else you want to know?
So interesting, Jerry.
It is interesting. Especially when contracts, and I guess people are happy when they get to a certain level, they almost want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea that Stephen A. Smith's contract with ESPN got released. The fact that Chris Russo had no problem telling Howard Stern how much money that ESPN was paying him. Maybe there's a bravado to that. I don't know. But most people don't disclose what they make. They just don't.
Yeah. Like, did you have any idea what your dad made growing up? When you were growing up. Like, right, like in high school, if someone came to you and said, what's your dad making a year? Me neither. I couldn't even ballpark it.
No, I couldn't ballpark it either. Maybe when I was in my teenage years, I might be able to ball. And I mean like 16, 17, I mean my later times, I was getting a little older and understanding things. Maybe I had a better idea or maybe a thought. But to this day, I have no idea.
Yeah, me neither.
Not a clue.
And we can't determine what our dads made based on their house.
No.
Because you can't do that anymore.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you couldn't do back then. You could have a normal paying job and have a nice house and your mom not working.
That is true.
Like, that was just a different.
And also in the 80s, if I remember, I mean, not from growing up, but from my dad telling me, mortgage rates were like 12%.
Yeah.
So you might be able to afford a house, but with the mortgage rates, you couldn't.
Yeah. Or that's why the houses were so much cheaper.
Modest.
Than they are now, because you're still paying a lot a month
because
it was all going to the interest.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. All right, Jerry. Well, listen, this one's going to do very well for YouTube because we're going to title it WFAN Salaries.
I love that. That's what we talked about.
Right.
That is a great idea.
WFAN Salaries. We'll get some clicks. This is called clickbait.
No, but it's
come
not though.
Get some.
No,
this was on my topic sheet.
Yeah.
Just because I was thinking about it today.
We didn't disclose salaries, but we did discuss them.
We discussed them.
And how they come about.
And if anyone that works here wants to disclose their salaries for the next podcast Jerry and I do, and you want to
That's fine.
Come on and share your salary.
Here's a good one. Since you have your DMs open,
yeah,
hit Al up with what you think people make. I'd be curious to see what the range is from people.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I could even, and I've been in this business a long time. Yeah. I'm not sure I could give a range for, I mean, I guess I could give a range.
But how close could you actually get?
Yeah, my range, by the way, would probably be $100,000 apart. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I could say, oh, this person, I think, makes between 200 and 300.
Right. This person makes between 50 and 80.
You're right.
And that's not 100, but it's a wide range.
Yeah, a wide range. I think I could get in the wide range.
What do you think is a, we got to go, but what do you think is a, what's a good salary? What do you consider a good salary in this day and age?
A good salary.
Household income. How about that? Because most people have, give me, all right, two things, then we go. A good salary and a good household income.
I think if I'm a, wow, that's a good salary, I would think $120,000 a year.
Okay.
Because that to me is $10,000 a month mm-hmm. before all your taxes and sure. all that crap. So I would say that's a good, I would say that's a good salary.
What do you think a good household income?
Man.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Mm-hmm. 180?
See, I think it starts with a 3.
Wow.
I do. Today.
Yeah.
In 2025.
I know I'm probably way off.
I think a good household income starts with a 3. At the very least, a 2. And I'm not saying just to make ends meet. I'm saying to do that and also have some breathing room.
Right. To say, okay, well, yeah, you're not going to worry every week about the...
Can you go to the grocery store?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
I've heard comedians, there's this one specific guy, I can't remember his name, but he was on Joe Rogan talking about this and talking about, you know, when do you feel rich? And the guy said that when, as long as you could get to a place when you go to a restaurant and you order what you want without mm-hmm. looking to see what it costs, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
And he said anything beyond that is gravy, as they
That's
say,
fair.
Right? But if you could get to be like, I really want this steak, but it's $45, $50.
So be it.
Yeah, that's when you go, oh, look at me. I'm doing all right for myself.
I think people are doing all right since they're buying $23 drinks at the bar.
That is correct, yeah.
$45 steak seems like a bargain.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show. Oh, tomorrow's Friday.
Friday.
We'll be back here tomorrow with the warm-up program. Soon!